start your day with Ryan Brachel.
Morning. We started yesterday with Sefer Dvorim. And as the Gemara calls it, according to one opinion, Sefer Ayusha. The Gemara is in Avodah Zarah. The Gemara brings a pusuk in Shmuel, Vayomer lelamit neyude koshes, hine ksuva Sefer Ayusha. And the Gemara asks, what's Sefer Ayusha? There are three opinions. My Sefer Ayusha, Omar Abchir Barab Omar Ab Yochanan, the Sefer Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov Shnikru Yeshurim, which refers to Chemish Bereishis. Because the pusuk says, Tumois Nafshi Mois Yeshurim, which refers to the Uvis, was Hiacharisi Komoyu, and therefore Sefer Ayusha is a Sefer which talks about the Yeshurim, which means the Uvis. That is the second opinion, Abluza Oime, the Sefer Mishne Torah, which we call Dvorim. But Michael is Sefer Ayusha. What's the connection to Dvorim and Sefer Ayusha? Dirsiv, because it says, Vosisu Hayusha Vatoiv Beine Hashem. And there's a third opinion, Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeni Umar, the Sefer Shoiftim. But Michael is Sefer Ayusha. Dirsiv, Vayumi Mohaim, Ey Melech Beisuel, Ish Hayusha Bein of Yaz. So either it's Sefer Shoiftim, or Sefer Bereishis, or Sefer Dvorim. So the Mashur and other Mephoshim ask, understand why Sefer Bereishis might be called Sefer Ayusha. Because a big part of Sefer Bereishis discusses the story of the Uvis. Understand also why Sefer Shoiftim, which Yusha describes the period they were in, Ein Melech B'Yisrael, Isha Yusha Bein of Yase. And therefore it's understandable that the whole Sefer is called Sefer Ayusha. But Sefer Dvorim has so many psukim, so many mitzvahs, so many different inyunim. Why of all of that do we choose the pusuk of V'osisu Ayusha V'atoy Bein Hashem, and why is this the name of the entire Sefer Dvorim? And they explain that the pusuk V'osisu Ayusha V'atoy Bein Hashem refers to Lifnim Meshur Asadin. As Rashi says al HaTorah, and the Gemara says at length, and the Mashur brings different examples of V'osisu Ayusha V'atoy, for example, Dina de Bar Metzah, where a person is the owner of a field or house, and he wants to sell it, he should be able to sell it to who he wants, because he is the owner. But still, because V'osisu Ayusha V'atoy, instead of selling it to whoever, sell it to the neighbor, or give him first right of refusal. Even though it might be a very close friend you want to sell it to, and the neighbor, you speak to him once in 10 or 20 years, still, he comes first. Why? Not because of the letter of the law, because it's Lefnim Meshir Sadin, V'osisu Ayusha V'atoy V'ein Hashem. Another example the Mashur brings is about the Shume, which refers to a case where someone is owed money, and he was told that if the loive can't pay, he'll pay him back with a field. And happens as he thought, he wouldn't be able to pay. Therefore, the malve takes the field instead of the payment, or house. Now, the malve uses that house for a certain amount of time, even for years. He settles there with his family. And after 10, 20 years, the loive comes back and says, oh, I have the money, I want to give back my house. So the strict letter of the law would say, you couldn't pay. You gave the house instead of the payment, and deal is done. Comes with Sisa Yusha Vatoiv, says, no, give him the right to redeem back his house, even le'olam, shud ha'adu le'olam, even if it's after a very long time. So these are examples of Lifnim Meshur Sadin. Now, Sefer Dvorim speaks about Lifnim Meshur Sadin, maybe not directly, but the entire Sefer speaks about the mitzvahs of Ahavas Hashem, of Yiras Hashem, of Dveikus, the mitzvah of Tefillah. And if a person cultivates such a relationship with the Rabbeinu Shalom, so he wants to do Lifnim Meshir Sadin. If Chas V'Shalom, a person crosses the road and there's a car accident, then the insurance would have a whole set of rules where he can go, where he can't go, which doctor, which hospital. But the relative wouldn't make any cheshbon. He would say straight away to the best place and we'll look about the bill afterwards. When a person has a relationship of Ahav and Yiras Hashem, so he doesn't think, is that enough or not? He wants to do more than that. What can I do? What can I add? And therefore, the concept of Lifnim Meshir Sadin is very much found back. If a person reads correctly Sefer Dvorim, then he might come on to Sefer Hayusho of Asisu Hayushol Vatoy Veine Hashem. Now it's no coincidence that we read Sefer Dvorim in this time of the year. 3 weeks and 9 days. As Chazal tell us, Lo Chovo Yerushalayim Elo Al Shemidu Divreim Al Din Torah. The reason of the Chorav Nabais is because there was a lack of Lifnim Mashiach Sadin. Shemidu Dineim Al Din Torah. Instead of looking, what else can I do? They were looking as, how can I tick the boxes and do whatever I have to do? Even if we look at the Haftorah of next week's parasha, Shabbos Chazoyim, then the Haftorah we read, Lule Hashem Tzevuko is hoisri lune surit kim'at kizdoim hoinu. We are almost like Sedoim. Meaning in the times of the Chorban, Klal Yisrael was compared, kim'at, almost to Sedoim. Now we know all the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, that are dalet midas v'udam. It's a person who says, Sheli, Sheloch, v'shechu Sheloch. Mine he's happy to share, and whatever the other person has, he doesn't demand back. And that's a chus, it's someone who does lefnim Mashiach Sadin, as we said before. He wants to give, and he wants to see where else he can give without asking what can he get back. Then there's a person who says, Sheli, Sheli, v'sheloch Sheli. That's a rush. Hoime, Sheli, Sheloch, v'shechus Sheli. This person is a bit confused, and therefore is called the Amuritz. However, says the Mishnah, someone who says, whatever is mine, I can keep for myself. But v'shelach, yours is also shelach. Zumida benoinis. On the one hand, he has difficulty in sharing, sheli sheli. But on the other hand, he also recognized that shelach, shelach, whatever is yours, I won't ask from you. That's mida benoinis. He's not a chuset, and he's not a rush. But v'yesh oimrim zumida sedoim. There are who say that this is called Midas Sedoim, which is difficult to understand. We understand the first opinion, it's Midas Benoinis, but why should it be Midas Sedoim? I heard once an explanation how we should read this Mishnah. V'yesh oimrim, if someone continuously says it, if that's the ideology of this person, not because he has a difficulty of sharing, but he says that's the right way. Sheli, sheli, v'shelach, shelach. Whatever the strict letter of the law says will follow. Dina de Bar Metzah wouldn't have worked in Sedoim. They would say, it's my field. You'll tell me who I should sell my field to. Lifni Mashiach Sadin, what's that? Sheli, sheli, v'shelach, shelach. If I redeem the money which is owed to me, and I take a field instead of it, then it's mine. You won't get it back after 10, 15 years. In Sedoim, they didn't just say, they lived, and it was something which had to be followed, the opinion of sheli, sheli, v'shelach, shelach. And that's Midas Sedoim. If it's a one-off, then it's Midas Benoinis. But if it's Yesh Oimim, if it's something which is said continuously, then it's called Midas Sedoim. In the Zman HaChorban, Kimat Kizdoim Oyin. Instead of the Lifnim Meshir HaSadin, instead of the Vosis Ayusha V'atoiv, they were deriving towards a different path. The one of Sheli Sheli and Sheloch Sheloch. As Chazal was said before, Lo'ichov Yishalayim Elo Al Shemidu Divreim Al Din Toyer. And therefore we read these parashas on that time, because Sefer Ayusha should show us the parash which is a tikkun of what was then of the Chorban HaBayis, and this should hopefully lead us to Binyan HaBayis. However, the Lifnim Meshur HaSadin is a delicate balancing act. It's something which is not easy to find the right path. As you all know, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Ein HaMu'uretz Ein hamuretz chuset. If someone wants to be a chuset, which refers to someone else, lifnim Mashiach Sadin, he can't be an hamuretz. It has to be sought out. You can't just jump to every chumra and say, it's lifnim Mashiach Sadin. It has to make sense. The Gemara Soite calls a chuset who doesn't make the right calculations a chuset shoite. And the example of the Gemara is someone who sees a woman who is drowning, and he says he doesn't look at woman, and he lets her drown. He's a chuset. He wants to do more than a strict letter of the law, but he's a chuset shoyt, a foolish chuset. Because chasidus, or lefnim Mashiach Sadin, has to be something which has to be balanced. I once heard a very interesting explanation for the poor Adumu, where Chazal had a big vikuach, a big argument with the Tzdoikim. The Tzdoikim said that Tevuah Adum has to be done with someone who is fully Tuhur. And someone who is a Tevul Yoim, which means he became impure. And that same day he went to the mikveh, but he didn't wait till Erev Shemesh. He spusel to do the Tevuah Adum. And the Chachum said, no, someone who went to mikveh and just is waiting till Erev Shemesh for different haluchas, he is already kushel to be makveh the Tevuah Adum. And therefore Chazal went, and mehoitzi milibo shel tzdoikim, to show that they are not right, they took something and they were metamed the kohen who did the avoda, and then they sent them to mikveh. And they said, let's not wait till night, and to show them that according to them, the puradum is pusel, and we will use such a puradum. But this wasn't without risk, because people started to become more lenient in hilchas tum and tahare, and therefore they made all kind of chumras, very far-fetched chumras, in order to counterbalance this leniency. For example, that the whole village, which was built in such a way where there was no tumah there, because it was built on a rock, and therefore even if there would be kruim, the tumah wouldn't reach them, and then a woman would go there and give birth, and the child grew up there for a few years. All of that just to counterbalance this leniency of the metame diskoi. Why is it just easier to say, we know that halacha is that tful yoim is kusha, and that's enough. Why do you have to fight with them to such an extreme and turn over the whole system in order to set things straight? And the answer I heard was, because in this case, the tzdoikim were more machme. If someone is more machme, then this has a stronger pull. People like to run after a chumre. And it comes probably from a good place, where a person wants to do more than he has to. But here the danger was much greater, that people would follow their opinion. They are more machme, they do things even better. But like we said before, lifnim mashiyas adin has to be balanced. There's interesting gemurah which tries, maybe you can learn the right balance of lifnim mashiyas adin. The gemurah tells us a story of Rabbi Bar Bar Chunon. The gemurah is in Bubi Metzia. He had a barrel of wine, and he had workers who had to bring it from one place to the other, and they somehow managed to destroy these barrels with a pshia. They didn't do the job properly. So what did he do? He took, as a payment for what the damage they caused, their garments. So they came complaining to Rav, look what he does. He takes away our garments. So Rav said, have luglimai, give it back. So Rabbi Bar Chunon asked a very simple question. Umalei, two words. Dine huchi, is this an obligation? Are you obligating me to give back these garments? Umalei, so Rav said, in. Yes, it's an obligation. Why? Leman de teilech bederech tovim, which is a pusik in the Mishlei. They should go in the path of tovim, of righteous people. Shloim seems to guide a person to do more than what he has to do. Yoivlu glemayu, he gave back the garments. Amrulei, anianon, there came with a second complaint. We are poor people. V'tachinan kule yoime, and we work hard all day. V'kafinan, we are hungry, we don't have food. Omarlei, so again, Rav said, zil havagrayu, give them a payment. Umalei, he had exactly the same question as before. Two words, dine huchi, that's the aluche, that's the requirement. Umalei, in, yes it is. And then he brought the second part of the pusik, v'orchois tzadikim tishmu. He should follow the path of tzadikim. Now the Bina Leitim asks, this gemur seems to contradict itself, because Rav first said, in, yes, it's a din, it's a chiv, the strict letter of the law, you have to do that. But the pusuk he brought was an advice of Shloime HaMelech, where Shloime says there is a nice path of tzadikim, of righteous people, which they do much more than that, and you should follow that. As if saying to him, you don't have to, but if you ask me, it would be nice if you do so. So why did he say first in, you have to, and after he said the pusuk, which refers to, you can, it would be nice to. You might say, because there's no other pusik? There is. We saw before, v'sisa yushava toiv. There's a different gemur, which discusses a similar story. And the gemur brings a different pusik there. The gemur talks about Rabbi Shmuel bar Rabbi Yosi. He went on his way. A gemur also in Bubi Metzia, Daf Lamed. And Puga be'ahu gavu, he found the person on his way who had a package of wood, which was heavy. The person put it down and rested. And then the person asked Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, can you please help me? Help me to carry this wood. So Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi said, how much is it worth, this piece of wood? So he said, palgi de zuze, half a coin, half a zuz. He said, you know what, just leave it there, I'll give you half a zuz. That's what he did, he gave him half a zuz, he left the wood there, and then Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi didn't want it should remain there as his, so it was mafkit, whoever wants can take it. Who was the one who took it? The same person. And he said again to Rabbi Shmuel, Rabbi Yossi, it's heavy, can you please help me a second time? He said, okay, I'll give you another half a zuz. Leave it there. And he was mafkirit a second time. So Shmuel Rabbi Yossi saw the person wants to be zoichit again. So he said to him, no. It's hefke, but not for you. For everyone, it's hefke, not for you. And the Gemara discusses, does it work, doesn't it work? And the Gemara says, maybe it doesn't work, just he told him so, because they didn't want him to be zoichit in it. But then the Gemara asked, did Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi have an obligation to help this person? It's a zukein ve'enelich v'chvoido. It's not according to the kovet of Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi to help him. And therefore, even he paid the money, but it was to redeem his obligation of helping him. He didn't have to help him. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi lefnim meshua sadin hudovat. He did more than a strict letter of the law. And the Gemara brings a pusik. The pusik is in Shemois, Vizar to esem es achukim es atoyus veidar to lem es aderich yeil chubo vesamas asher yasun. And from the last two words, asher yasun, says the Gemara zu lifnim meshua sadin. And this seems to be more a kind of obligation. You should do that, you should do the lifnim meshua sadin. So why doesn't the Gemara in the first story also bring the same pusik, asher yasun? And Tosfos says, because there are different kinds of lifnim meshua sadin. There are cases where it doesn't cost you any money. There's this case here where Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is exempt for someone, something that everyone is mechiv. It's a personal exemption. So he said, I will not use my exemption, my ptor of not helping. It's very different than no one has to help and you come and you help yourself. So there are different kinds, and the choices goes in to which pusuk refers to which kind of timushir sadim. Says the Bina Re'itim, our Gemara teaches us the following. The Lifnim Meshua Sadin is not one mitzvah for all. It depends who you are. For some people, to do a certain thing would be called Lifnim Meshua Sadin. For some people, it would be advisable. For other people, it would be a chiyev. And for other people, it would be not recommended. Some chumras are not for everyone to be followed. There's an interesting thought I heard once from the Divrei Yecheskel Shin Veruv. He said, in Shechnuch, you find often an expression, Bal nefesh yachmir al atzmai. What does it mean, Bal nefesh? What does it refer to, Bal nefesh? He said, Bal nefesh means someone who is in full control of his nefesh. Before you are machmir, you should be full control, because the chumra might lead to some things which are not desirable. A person might fast 2-3 days in a row and might afterwards destroy the world because he's so upset and so angry. There are many, many examples, and I don't have to elaborate. But some chumras lead to many other kulas. So says the Shechnuch, Baal nefesh. If you are in full control of your nefesh, and you know exactly that this chumra will not lead to anything else, then, of course, yachmi. And this is what the Gemara is telling us. He asked Rabbi Baba Chunan, is it an obligation? So the answer of Rabbi was, in, yes. Not for everyone, for you. How do I know that? Because Shloim HaMelech says, Leman telech bederech toivim. There is a way of toivim. There's a path, orches tzadikim. There's a path for righteous people. This is normal. For them, that's normal. For you, it might not be normal, but for them, that's normal. So Shlomo HaMelech tells you, try, it should be your aspiration to reach that level. But from this pusuk, you see that for some people, it's normal. And for other people, it's an aspiration. And therefore he said, in, yes, for you, it's the din, it's like that. Because this pusik tells us that lifnim meshua sadin is, every case is different, and every person is different. And you have to make the right cheshma. We said before, ein amu uretz, chusit. You have to make the right calculation if this is something which you should be machmed.
Sorry, is that called a din? He asked, is it a din?
Yes. The Bina Re'itim says, for you, it's a din. For you, it's a chiyuv, because Shlomo HaMelech calls this the regular path for tzaddikim. So if someone's not a tzaddik, it's not a chiyuv. I give another example. Din de bar mitzvah. is a chiyuv as well. It's not only a recommendation, even though it's based on lefnim meshuras hadin. Because it depends, each case is different, and some lefnim meshuras hadin is part of the aluche, others are an extra, and others is just for a bal nefesh, and then you have to make up yourself, you might, if you are a bal nefesh or not. I read once a story about a certain an avrich, some nulant in Koyle, and he found a large sum of money. If I remember correctly, it was 300 lirot. I'm not sure exactly how much there was, but it seems to be enough for a whole month of wages. And he went to Rosh Yeshiva, Rav Tzion Abba Shaul, and he asked him, what should I do with the money I found? He said, haluche, haluche, it's yours. Haluche, the owner was miyayish, it was in a public place, and you can keep it. But I want you to think a second. One of your friends, or one of the people here, must have lost. How is he feeling? What is he going through if he doesn't have the wages for next month? So you ask him what you have to do, you don't have to give it back. But it would be the right thing to give it back. So he wrote up a sign. It didn't take long for the owner to come, and he was so grateful for having retrieved his 300 lirot which he lost. Then Rosh Yeshiva called that person back and he said, by the way, I gave an advice. It wouldn't make sense you should lose out of following my advice. Therefore, he took out another 300 lirot and said, hey, take this back. Because you follow my chumrah, you shouldn't lose out of that. And therefore, the advice was an advice, but I want to pay for it. That's a good example of bal nefesh yachmer an atzmei. So we mentioned the Sefer HaYusho. We mentioned the reason of why Sefer Yusho is called Sefer Yusho is because it refers to Lifnim Mashiach Sadeim, which is something which is based on the relationship a person has with the Rebbeinu Sholem, on his Yiras Shemaim, on his Ahavas Hashem, on his Dveikis, on his Avodas HaTfilah. And therefore, this is something which is read in these 3 weeks, where Bizman HaChorban there was a lack of this relationship, which caused to the Chorban, and therefore the way how to a person should read these psukim, read these parashas, and try to follow the path of lifnim meshiras hadin ben udam lechaveir ben udam lamuchem. I would like just to finish off with a small thought brought in Shmiras Halushan of the Chofetz Chaim. Where the Chofetz Chaim asks, we said before, loichava yishalayim elo shemida divrei maldin tere. But we find many other reasons why there was a Chorban Habayis. If it was Sinas Chinam or other Mamre Chazal. So how does these Mamre Chazal fit with each other? So the Chofetz Chaim says, the truth is, this wasn't the full reason for the Chorban Habayis. But if we would serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam lifnim meshiras hadin, we would be mevate, we would give in from ourselves. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu would say, even with the other sins, just like you look away, I also will look away. So therefore, it wasn't the true reason of the Chorban, but it would have saved the Chorban. Would a person be more, would the people there be more careful, then the Chorban would have happened. I'd like to finish off with one story, which I heard of the grandson of the Bana Maase. He told me the following. He said, I had a grandmother. She lived in Romania before the war. She had a few siblings, and she was an orphan. And the oldest brother left to America, and he tried to help and support his family. And when it came the time for this girl to get married, he supported her when she found her chusin, this person's grandfather. He sent money for the wedding, all the costs he covered. Then he also gave a sum of money for them to start a business, to start them supporting themselves. Now, for some reason, it didn't go well, and he lost the money. So the brother-in-law, the one in America, heard what happened. They wrote him a letter, what happened. And he sent a second sum of money, hoping this time it would work better, and he tried to direct them in how they should use the money. Now, this grandfather of that person, he went and he found a basement. It didn't look very nice, the basement, but that's what he could afford himself, and he paid a very, very cheap price. And he took this basement and he started transforming it into a shop. He started first cleaning out the spider webs and whatever there was there, the dust. Then he started painting this whole basement. And after quite some effort spent, time, money, he transformed it into a beautiful shop. Now the owner of this basement, another Yid, didn't dream that his basement could look like, like a beautiful shop. And for this, he charged much too little rent. So he came to the grandfather and he said, oh, by the way, I need the shop back. I need it back. I can't give it to you. Give it back to me. He was very frustrated. He put all his money in that shop. And now the person wants it back. He comes home and he says to his wife what happened. And he wants to go to the roof. So the wife said, if you listen to me, be mevater. Be mevater. Don't fight with another Yid. Be mevater. It wasn't very easy, but he followed his wife's advice. And he forgot the whole thing. He said, okay, take back the shop. Now the brother-in-law heard what happened the second time. He said, oive, such a person, I can't trust him with any money. I'll call him to me. I'll bring him to America. And there, I'll try, he's near me, I'll try to help him. So arranged for them tickets to come to America. And they left on the last ship before the Second World War. Now, I don't remember if it was 60 or 70 years later, the grandfather passed away. Just after the Levi, the same day, the grandmother passed away. The same moment. Something quite strange. So they thought about it, the grandchildren. And they came up with the following explanation. The entire town, everyone, was killed exactly, I don't know, 60 or 70 years earlier than the day that the grandfather and the grandmother passed away. Now, they were supposed to be amongst these people, if not for the entire story that happened. So what caused them to be saved? The Vatrunis. Seemingly, the Bnei Shem took all these years of these lost souls and gave it to them as a present. And therefore, after 60 or 70 years, I don't remember now, wherever it was, then their time was up. And when the Bnei Rebbe heard the story, he said, it's a mitzvah lefasim. It's a mitzvah lefasim, that story. How we see that the Vatrunis is something which only leads to good. We be zoichim et Hashem that this Tisha B'Av should become a Yom Simcha. And Hashem should be zoiche to go out of the gulas, the kuriv, v'shiyasit keinem hevi, v'meinu, omein.